to prevent the spread of coronavirus 2019, or COVID-19, social distancing and self-isolation measures have been recommended. Here are some tips on how to practice social isolation and why, according to @everybodywantstoloveyou on Instagram. Please stay home and cancel plans. People who are vulnerable exist around you. There is a communal responsibility to limit the spread of this disease. While young people represent the highest number of new cases, elderly people represent the highest number of deaths. Often, testing for COVID-19 is proportionate to risk. And while contraction rates increase with age, the age range 20 to 29 has by far the highest contraction rates, but typically show little to no symptoms. This is called asymptomatic contraction and makes it especially imperative that people practice social distancing. Social distancing means not going out to bars, not hanging out with more than two friends, and giving people 6 feet or more of space in public.
Hi, this is Perry from the Templars. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. Oi, oi.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya, and the Skakuya, Talitin, Homasqueam, Mustail.
Hello everyone, my name is Stephanie, and you're listening to Season 6's All Access Pass at CITR 101.9 FM. I'm joined by my Accessibility Collective teammates, Richard, Jesse, Christy, Monica, Avery, and Sarah. Hope everyone is doing well and staying safe, and I hope you all had a wonderful winter break. Happy New Year 2021, wishing you all a very healthy and good memories for this year. On today's show, we are bringing you inspiring and uplifting stories centered around the community of disability and moving forward to the year 2021 on a positive note. But before we dive into our show topic, let's go to our first song break. Here is Monica with our first song. Hi, Monica. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone. And hi, Stephanie. Our first song of the show is Villain by Sarah Jickling and Her Good Bad Luck off her 2019 album, The Family Curse. Sarah Jickling is a Canadian artist and mental health advocate who is open about her struggles with anxiety and bipolar disorder. Her album, The Family Curse, deals with intergenerational trauma and mental illness in families. So again, here is Sarah Jickling with Villain.
Thank you. a brain glitch. My mind is a real bitch. My mind is a real bitch. And who the hell are you? This wild pain animates me, makes me sick, and I can't tell wrong from right. This wild pain animates me, makes me sick, and now I am the villain. I come from trauma.
The song you just heard was Sarah Jickling with Villain and off her album, The Family Curse. Now we're going to get into our show topic, and that is each member of the Accessibility Collective, bringing you inspiring and uplifting stories centered around the community of disability and moving forward to year 2021 on a positive note. Here is Sarah with her pick of a disability story. Sarah, hi.
Hi, everyone. And a wonderful new year to you and your family. I hope everyone had some treats these past few weeks. If you're like me, you've been watching a lot of Netflix these days, like a lot. A show that really caught my attention and the attention of many others I know was called The Queen's Gambit. In this show, a female orphan reluctantly asks a janitor to teach her chess at a time when women were not generally allowed to play and not allowed to play against men, and rises to fame internationally as an exceptional player. Well, this runs a lot of parallel to the real life story of 40-year-old Jessica Losser, the 3-time US blind chess champion. Jessica Losser was born 16 weeks early and needed to be put on oxygen. As a result, she developed retinopathy of prematurity, severe damage to her eyes. One eye is completely blind. In the other, she has 20/480 eyesight. She can tell when a piece is on a chess square, but since it's extremely blurry, it's tougher to tell what piece it is. Jessica has been playing chess since the age of 7, when she moved from a school for the deaf and blind to a public mainstream school in Arizona. It was her way of evading bullying and being able to beat the other kids by being really, really good at something the others were not good at. Now, she says, if anything, it's a method of coping with all of the societal constraints that have been put on her and dealing with things that she can't control. This includes the vast difficulty with both finding a job as a blind person and with Social Security disability insurance, which only allows her to make $2,110 a month. This forces her into relative poverty, a fact that she finds disturbing and upsetting. However, in her effort to find opportunity, this is giving her opportunity, and she now travels internationally on the US team. Jessica does not only play with others that are visually impaired, and often she plays with those who are visually capable as well. Oftentimes her opponents do not know that Jessica is blind. Jessica doesn't play with a special blind chessboard, as many of her counterparts do, which have pegs to feel the pieces. She plays with a normal chessboard. The difficulty is the chess rule touch move, where you have to move a piece that you pick up. Instead, she skims the tops of the pieces to identify without moving them, a fact which she disclaims to the sighted people that she often plays with. It also means that she has to remember where every piece is in her mind, which is incredible in itself. Her passion is shown by her continuous and consistent attendance to these chess tournaments, even during the pandemic. When the chess tournament was pushed several months but happened in person, I'm guessing that it's rather difficult to play virtual chess when people are blind. In The Queen's Gambit, the main character wants to go to Russia, where the ultimate chess champions are. Jessica Lawford wants to use Russian every day to help others and hopes that one day she'll be able to live in Russia and teach English and chess. Now, here is Christy with her story pick.
Thanks, Sarah. I really enjoyed that story. I really love chess too, and I haven't watched Queen's Gambit yet, but it seems like a really fun show. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'll definitely check that out. Yeah, one story that I thought was super inspiring was one about a runner named Thomas Panic, who is legally blind. This is a story about how new technology had helped him run his first 5K in Central Park without a dog or another person to guide him. Panic has retinitis pigmentosa, a genetic condition that causes the loss of photoreceptor cells. So by young adulthood, he was legally blind. This process of the new technology started a little over a year ago when Panic delivered a challenge to a group of engineers at Google Manhattan's offices during a company hackathon. And the challenge was if they could develop a way for him to run by himself with a clear sense of where he was going and without having to worry about hazards along the way. As there weren't any founding technological solutions that entirely separated the runner from a guide. The National Federation of the Blind estimates that 7.6 million people in the United States have a visual impairment. That requires them to use alternate means to engage in an activity that people with vision can do without assistance. The United States Association of Blind Athletes, which holds camps and regional competitions for people who are blind or visually impaired, has more than 700 members who could benefit from the technology that Panic requested. So how did they do it? The crew painted a yellow line for Panic to follow throughout a race. He would strap a phone with a camera and the newly devised app to his belly area, so his midsection, and the camera would track the yellow line on the ground. The app would take information from the camera and convey vibrating signals through a headset. So as Panic ran, the signals would tell him how to adjust his steps to stay on the line, such as signals in the right ear meant he was wandering too far to his right and vice versa. There was also another signal that would help him navigate a turn when the camera spotted the line curving. So software programs used for video game design really helped the app learn to interpret the images from the camera. Obviously, when developing an app like this, there are a lot of factors to consider, such as things that might interfere with tracking a line on pavement, such as a shaky camera, or such as the change of sunlight. It might change the color of the line a little bit, or having a shaky camera, or leaves blowing onto the line. Therefore, this made it more tricky for the engineers. And so in preparation for his run, Panic tested the technology for months over short distances, gradually gaining confidence and really learning to trust the messages that messages in his ears. So in November 2020, it was time for his 5 kilometer run. And it was a success, so that was really cool. And this story really struck me because it made me think of technology as a tool for more like humanitarian purpose too, and made me think of ways we can really like reimagine technology. I'm no tech expert, but technology and society is just so fascinating to me because it's just advancing super, super fast. And it kind of scares me a little bit. If you've seen like the Netflix show Black Mirror, you would know why, because it's a show that depicts like a dystopian future where individuals grapple with the manipulative effects of cutting edge technology in their personal lives and behaviors. And so like seeing this story brought me hope and made me see technology in a new way as to help serve the public interest rather than to something that would like harm us further or alienate us. So I'm really looking forward to seeing this, how this would help more people who are visually impaired and just more technological advancements that would help everyone in the future. So yeah.
Oh, thanks, Christy, for the story. You and Sarah's stories were really inspiring.
A cool thing I was just thinking was I just actually was looking at the images of the yellow line that he uses with the app, and it seems like we do have a lot of these in Vancouver. So maybe like he could do it for that 1 5K, and then like the infrastructure would continue on so that people could do it in other places. Which is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that happens. Yeah, let's go to our second song break. Monica, what song are we listening to next?
Thanks, Stephanie. Our next song is Two-Faced by Soulchild, a Vancouver-based R&B artist and music producer. Soulchild was born in South Korea, and he speaks a lot about mental health and depression and how he deals with these issues. Through his music, he tackles the topic of mental health, something that is still considered a taboo issue in South Korea.
I put a smile on my face, no matter how I feel. Even if I'm sick and can't be dropping tears in a party, I'm a man now. Soon to be a star in due time. In due time. But what's the purpose of doing all the things that I did? Trying to grow for what reason? I wish I knew. I'm used to tightening my neck so I won't stand out. But now I've come too far. I wish I could convey how I feel. Distorted and confused how I feel. What it feels to be in love, how I feel. What does it take to be right? How bad it hurts to be wrong? I've had a mask for so long, I lost the touch to be real. What does it take to be right? How bad it hurts to be wrong? I've had a mask for so long, I lost the touch to be real. If there's someone who I can trust enough to say who I am. I know that I'm weird sometimes, but I wish somebody knew this side of me. If I made the right choices, would it be right? Would it be right? I wish I could, I would. I wish I could convey how I feel. Distorted and confused how I feel. What it feels to be in love, how I feel. What does it take to be right? How bad it hurts to be wrong? I've had a mask for so long, I lost the touch to be real. What does it take to be right? How bad it hurts to be wrong? I've had a mask for so long, I lost the touch to be real. If there's someone who I can trust enough to say who I am. I know that I'm weird sometimes, but I wish somebody knew this side of me.
Welcome back to All Access Pass at CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was Soulchild's Two-Faced. Now let's get back to our show topic, and that is each member of the Accessibility Collective bringing you inspiring stories and uplifting stories centered around the community of disability and moving forward to 2021 on a positive note. So here is Richard with his pick of a disability story. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Stephanie. Today, I want to talk about a very inspiring story that happened in November of 2020. Now, you might know about Ironman competitions, a grueling triathlon consisting of a 4-kilometer swim, a 180-kilometer bike, and a 42-kilometer run. These competitions truly push the limit, and they require intense training and physical fitness. And the race is truly a triumph of the human spirit and a display of the depth of human determination. Clocking in at 16 hours, 46 minutes, and 9 seconds, triathlete Chris Nikic became the first competitor with Down syndrome to successfully cross the finish line in the 42-year history of the Ironman race. For his awe-inspiring efforts, Nikic also earned himself a place in the Guinness Book of World Records as the first person with Down syndrome to become an official Ironman. Nikic told the Today Show prior to the event, "Being the first person with Down syndrome is a great feeling. I can prove to kids that if I can do it, they can do it too." According to Nikic's father, this race was more than just a finish line and celebration of victory. Ironman has served as his platform to become one step closer to his goal of living a life of inclusion, normalcy, and leadership. It's about being an example to other kids and families that face similar barriers, proving no dream or goal is too high to reach. In order to prepare for this grueling event, Nikic trained between 4 to 6 hours a day, which definitely paid off, as even after suffering from a fall from his bike during the second leg of the race, he called on his inner reserve of strength to get back up, keep going, and get the job done. With hopes of competing in the 2022 Special Olympics scheduled on his home turf in Orlando, it looks as if Chris Nikic has plenty of big dreams yet to come. As for that medal he won for completing one of the world's most exhausting triathlons, he gifted it to his loving mom. What an inspiration. Now, here's Avery with her story. Avery, take it away.
Thanks for that incredible story, Richard. That is beyond inspiring. My stories are going to focus on some emerging disabled artists who created amazing projects this past year. While we all know 2020 was tough, there are certain things that still brought the world closer together in times of a raging pandemic, one of them being art. Art is a way to connect emotively, something that was extremely crucial in an absence of physical support throughout 2020. There are a couple stories that stood out to me that highlight disabled artists and the work they're doing. The first one took place in May 2020. A group of artists with learning disabilities got together to paint the world's largest open-air gallery in Spain, with inclusivity and a safe space for all the basis of their mission, as well as creating a stunning gallery for the city. The Spanish artist behind it all, Okuda San Miguel, partnered with an organization that provides jobs for locals with special needs and learning disabilities. What a way to give back to the community. The next artist I want to showcase is the California-raised Aurora Blue, who I've actually followed on Instagram for some time now. She's so cool. She is most known for her work called The Unsent Project, which focuses on the relationship between color and love by asking anonymous senders to write letters to people that will never actually be sent, encouraging honesty and communication. In 2020, she launched a series called Chronic Illness Reimagined as Something Glamorous, with photos depicting her everyday routines with Lyme disease as if it were much more elegant, such as an IV filled with glitter or a birthday cake with blue pills as sprinkles, all meant to spread awareness and kind of shed light on the difficulties that people face every day. More recently, she has launched a project centering around hurtful ableist comments. She created a photo of a bed in a field with letters stitched on the pillowcases stating remarks like, "Are you better yet?" or "Honey, we're all tired." Through art, we can connect and destigmatize. So these amazing advances from disabled artists are something to thank 2020 for.
Thanks, Amy, for the story. You and Richard's stories were really amazing. Let's go to our third song break. Monica, what disability artist are we listening to next?
So our next song is Someday We'll Linger in the Sun by Galen Leah off her 2018 album Learning How to Stay. Galen Leah is an American singer, violinist, and disability advocate who has a physical disability called osteogenesis imperfecta. Through her music, she provides a platform to advocate for disability rights and promote positive change.
Thank you.
Welcome back to All Access Pass at CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was Someday We'll Linger in the Sun by Galen Leah off her album Learning How to Stay. Now let's get back to our show topic, where each member of the Accessibility Collective looks back to 2020 and looks forward to what is to come for 2021. So here is Jessie with her pick of a disability story. Hey, Jessie, how's it going?
Hi, I'm doing all right. And I think I'll continue on the topic of like art, as Avery established just now, because the disability story I want to present today is about a young American girl from Missouri who invented a glitter shooting prosthetic arm for herself. And in October of 2020, she promoted creativity among disabled children during her appearance on a Lego documentary that's centered around young inventors and their designs. Jordan Reeves is a 14-year-old teenager who was born with an underdeveloped left limb. She became inspired to develop the design when she attended a STEM camp that encouraged kids to think creatively about their disabilities. Jordan used a 3D printer to design this prosthetic arm, and she has promoted her design called Project Unicorn on various platforms such as TEDx and Shark Tank, and amongst many others too. Jordan and other young inventors advocated for creative thinking by showcasing their own Lego constructions on a 13-foot globe installation that was made out of 350,000 pieces in total. And I think her story is pretty cool because it promotes like creative thinking of like not only like young women in STEM, but also like young women with disabilities. So yeah.
Wow. Thanks for that story, Jessie. Let's go to our fourth song break. Monica, what song are we listening to next?
So our fourth song is called Hurt Me by Half Asian featuring Amy the Coda. Half Asian is a mixed race Canadian musician who makes retro synth pop music. And Amy the Coda, or CODA, which stands for Child of Deaf Adult, she interprets the lyrics in her first language, which is sign language. And this Vancouver Island-based duo creates accessible music for both deaf, hard of hearing, and hearing communities.
Tell you wanna hurt me, go ahead, try to make me cry. Tell you wanna hurt me, go ahead and try to make me cry. Did you really have to break my heart? Did you really have to break it down? Did you really have to break my heart? Did you really have to break? Thank you.
Welcome back to All Access Pass at CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just listened to was Hurt Me by Half Asian featuring Amy the Coda. Now let's get back to our show topic. Each member of the Accessibility Collective looks back to 2020 and looks forward to what is to come for 2021. So here is Nicole with her pick of a disability story. Hi, Nicole. Good to see you. Take it away.
This story comes from a theme some of us may have seen in 2020, and that is families growing together. But for the Dean family, what brought them closer actually began as a hobby, which then became one of Time Magazine's top 100 innovations of 2020. Grammy nominee and songwriter Barry Dean, along with his wife, brother, and two sons, created Lucy. Lucy! A linked user-centered intelligence, which is an attachable hardware software system that gives select power wheelchairs smart capability. It uses special sensors to give an all-around 360-degree view so that smart technology can make wheelchairs safer. Now, you might think the curb of a sidewalk isn't much of a threat, but falling over with a 300 to 400-pound power wheelchair can cause some serious injuries, and this happens more often than you think. In 2003, tip-overs, collisions, and falls made up to 65 to 80% of wheelchair-related injuries. And in that same year, more than 100,000 wheelchair-related injuries required treatment in the States. Have a listen to Barry talk about Catherine's first wheelchair experience.
When she first got her power chair as a little girl, at the clinic, they put her in the seat and they hadn't calibrated the speed. And it took off down the hall and went into a wall.
So Catherine was born 16 weeks early and weighed less than 2 pounds at the time. And because of her cerebral palsy, she spent most of her life in a power wheelchair. Today, she's 20 years old. So how does Lucy work? Lucy, which is also named after Catherine's favorite Beatles song, is mounted between the power base and seat of a chair. It uses its sensor fusion technology to combine 3D cameras, ultrasonic sensors, and radars to detect, then slow down and stop before a ledge or colliding into an object, such as people's pets or other people's legs. And if you're about to go up a ramp that seems a little bit too steep, the Lucy will monitor the slope and warn the rider if the chair is at risk of tipping over. And no, the Lucy does not control your ride completely. You can certainly override the features, but if you do happen to fall, Lucy fall detection can alert your loved ones where you are so you can get some help. So just like your smartphone, you can update the software at night when it's charging and choose to share your user data so that it can improve its software, as well as use Alexa and Google Voice command to access the Lucy app to check on things like your battery status. So Lucy wasn't made just for Catherine. After a dear friend of the family had suffered some serious injuries on the same wheelchair model that Catherine uses. The family had already seen enough of Catherine experiencing difficulties of maneuvering around the world that wasn't quite built for her, like leaving Disneyland concert early because of the crowd. Wheelchair users are left behind when it comes to innovative technology, said CEO Barry Dean. And with that, the Lucy team kept other wheelchair users in mind while developing the technology over 2.5 years. So much that their test chairs were named after their former owners. One chair was named after Bethany, who passed away from ALS and only used her chair a few times because she was scared she could get hurt using it. So Lucy sells for $8,445, and this includes the installation and cloud updates. After it's installed with some minor adjustments, an app is used to customize the riding experience. The Lucy team plans to continue to develop the system to allow it to be compatible with more wheelchairs, and they also continue to advocate for healthcare insurance coverage for these devices, as they're fairly new to insurance companies as a medical device. And they are currently only available in the States, and I'll leave you a message from Barry.
Dear Catherine, from the moment you were born, you've been a treasure to me. You've also been an education.
Dad. Catherine, that looks so good.
You taught me about courage.
Are you ready to drive?
Ready.
Oh, that's wonderful, Catherine.
And kindness. But also how unfair the world can be to some people. You deserve something that would let you move freely.
I'm Nicole, and thanks for having me.
Thanks, Nicole, for your story. Now we're going to another and last song break. Here is X, Ari with the song Watching. It is off her album As You Are.
You show up in a black cat, tight jeans, silver lake cowboy, kinda like it. All alone in the corner of my eye. My friend's talking, but I cannot focus on anything else since I've noticed you around and I'm down, but I'm feeling shy. 10 feet away, but you're so far. I'm dying to know just who you are. Staring back at you, and I'm watching, watching. You watching me, watching. And someone's about to make a move, and I'm hoping that it's gonna be you. And I'm watching, watching. You watching me, watching. And someone's about to make a move, and I'm hoping that it's gonna be you.
So many questions that I wanna ask you. What's your name, where you're from, what's a tattoo? Do you got a girlfriend or could you be mine? Couple drinks trying to build up the courage, but the lump in my throat got me nervous. I'm just hoping that I don't run out of time. 10 feet away, but you're so far. I'm dying to know just who you are. You look at me, I'm staring back at ya. And I'm watching, watching. You watch me, watching. And someone's about to make a move. And I'm hoping that it's gonna be you. And I'm watching, watching. You watching me, watching. And someone's about to make a move. And I'm hoping that it's gonna be you. Ooh, ooh. You. You. And someone's about to make a move, and I'm hoping that it's gonna be you.
And I'm watching, watching. You watching me, watching. And someone's about to make a move, and I'm hoping that it's gonna be you.
And welcome back to All Access Pass at CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was X-Ari's Watching. A little about X-Ari. She's a singer, songwriter, artist, and a mental health advocate from Toronto and currently living in Los Angeles. X-Ari's motto is to turn pain into power, using art to do so. And with that, we wrap up our first episode for 2021. Hope you all enjoyed it.
If you are interested in joining our team or think there is an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to today's All Access Pass. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something.
Please like our All Access Facebook page.
If you are on Twitter or Instagram or both, please follow us @access_CITR.
If you missed part of our live show today and want to listen again, or maybe you want to listen to our past shows, you can do so on CITR.ca by going on the search box and type in All Access Pass.
Take care and stay safe. Stick around for more CITR programming coming up next. Bye, everyone.